Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll be joined by Drake Hills from the Tennessean coming up at 9:30 with his thoughts on Nashville SC and I guess the back line yesterday as well. Interested to get Drake's thoughts on that coming up at 9:30. Right now, talking Preds, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. So not much from the Preds yesterday. They made some AHL deals yesterday, but nothing really at the NHL level. So the question, Adam, is with a lot of free agents off the market, like Gaudreau and David Perron goes to the Red Wings yesterday, Max Pacioretty, who was not a free agent, but was traded from Vegas to Carolina. You know, Andre Palat's off the market. You can keep going down the list. Vincent Trocheck's off the market. A lot of top guys off the market yesterday in the first day of free agency. With the Predators not acquiring any of those guys, the question now is, where do they go from here? What is the next step for David Poile and the Predators? And, look, I could be wrong about this. There's still some intriguing players out there. You know, Niederreiter doesn't have a contract. Dylan Strome doesn't have a contract. You know, there's some different ways that they could go about it. Phil Kessel is still out there as well. But I kind of, just reading the tea leaves, the Robbie Stanley tea leaves right now, which could be a dangerous game, I kind of feel like the Predators may be exploring trades rather than looking at some of these free agents on the list. So with all that being said, Adam Mingan, what do you think happens from here? Where do the Predators go from here with day one of free agency and the majority of the quote-unquote top six options that we knew about off the table for the Predators?
It certainly doesn't sound like they're going to be making any sort of big moves in free agency. It would have probably happened yesterday, and there are still some intriguing names out there. The in terms of forwards, the you know the top name still in the market is Nazem Kadri.
Yep.
But that was because he's basically taking a pit. He's you know everyone's pitching him, and he's taking his time, and he can afford to do that. You know, as you mentioned, Nino Niederreiter is out, still out there forward-wise. Dylan Strome is out there. You know, Paul Stastny is out there, which I think is interesting, but he's older, and I'm not sure exactly how he would fit here. And then some, you know, bargain players, perhaps, like Evan Rodriguez and Sonny Milano and Danton Heinen, you know, guys that don't really
Is Harry Zolnarchuk available?
Is Harry Zolnarchuk available?
Go find him.
Yeah, I'm sure he's I'm sure he's available somewhere. But yeah, I mean it seems like the best path forward at this point would be to acquire, easy for me to say, a forward on an expiring contract, you know, from a team that, you know, needs to get back to the cap. And we've mentioned a couple of those names. Whether it was JT Miller in Vancouver or Alex Killorn in Tampa Bay. We saw Max Pacioretty move yesterday and a cap dump from the...
Gave him away.
Yeah, they gave him away. The Vegas Golden Knights gave away a top scorer for nothing. So you know, I think that it would probably be the best thing at this point. It would allow the Predators to get someone in here that could help. You're not committed to them past this coming season, and you can reevaluate next summer. But yeah, I just think that would be better than signing a player, you know, to a contract that would prevent you from doing other things in coming years.
So we've got a lot of questions on the text line about Patrick Laine of Columbus. Now, Columbus is in an interesting spot right now because they gave Eric Goodbranson a contract yesterday of 4 years, $16 million, which is just incredible. Johnny Gaudreau signing with the Blue Jackets yesterday. Now, I think you brought up a good point earlier, and I agree with it. If you're signing Johnny Gaudreau, I doubt very seriously that you're then going to turn around and trade the best winger that they have currently on their team outside of Gaudreau, which is Patrick Laine. So they're probably going to play together, would be my guess. But he is a restricted free agent, and he's a guy that has been rumored prior to the Gaudreau signing to maybe they're going to have some difficulty getting locked down long term, and maybe you could consider trading for Patrick Laine if you were the Predators or anyone else. I would assume after the Gaudreau deal yesterday, that's probably for the moment off the table for Columbus. But what do you make of their situation? Because I do think Columbus is an interesting team to look at, maybe not for Line A, but for some other guys they may have that they may now have to trade with Gaudreau coming in.
Yeah, John Glennon last hour mentioned a player that I hadn't really thought about in a while that is a member of the Columbus Blue Jackets that could help, and that's Gustav Nyquist. He has 1 year left on his contract with a $5.5 million cap hit. Now, you know, Predators fans are familiar with Nyquist from his time in Detroit. He's 32 years old. Last season in 82 games, he had 18 goals and 53 points. He hasn't scored 20 goals since he had a 21-goal season with the Red Wings in 2017-18. So, again, we talked about this with Kessel, and we talked about this with Niederreiter. You know, and at this point, any established veteran scorer would be an upgrade over what they had last year. You're not really having to clear a high bar in that regard. And to your point about Line A, this is from Aaron Portsline of The Athletic in his story last night about the signing of Johnny Gaudreau. This is what Aaron wrote, quote, Heel, being Jarmo Kekalainen, GM of the Blue Jackets, will need to move multiple forwards to get under the NHL's $82.5 million salary cap. If you projected $8.5 million contract for Line A, the Blue Jackets will be at least $4 million over the cap, but they'll need more than that to allow for injuries as the season moves along. Quote, we thought about it long and hard, Kekalainen said. We're confident we can make it all work. This doesn't change our position on Line A at all. We're going to approach negotiations with Line A like it's a work in progress, but we have plans to keep them both. And then Aaron continues, it's somebody else who will have to move. And then he mentions Oliver Bjorkstrand and Gustav Nyquist. So Nyquist is another player that, is he exciting? Nah, not really, but he'll help.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. It's an interesting kind of spot that they're in. Bellevue Bill on the text line says, Vladimir Tarasenko to Nashville. Tarasenko would be perfect in our lineup. He weighs 300 pounds. And lays the boom, also an elite four. I don't think he's quite 300 pounds.
No, I think he's...
I also don't think he's going anywhere.
Tarasenko is 225 pounds, according to Cap Friendly. He has one more year on his deal at $7.5 million. You know, that I don't think he's... I don't think his trade request has been rescinded. But, yeah, he had a resurgent season last year. He had 34 goals and 82 points in 75 games.
Well, I can also tell you this. Mm. The Blues are not trading him to the Predators.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
No, probably not. But it's wishful thinking. So I guess if you had to rank, I'll give you a list of players that we've talked about today.
Okay.
And you tell me how you would rank them on your wish list. So let's see. Alex Killorn, Nino Niederreiter, JT Miller, Gustav Nyquist, Phil Kessel. That's five.
Okay.
So rank them in terms of your preference.
I would go JT Miller at number one,
mm-hmm.
because number one, I think he's the best player on that list. And number two, it's a 1 year deal, kind of like we're talking about. So if you wanted to get him signed up long term, you could try to figure that out. I still don't think that would be very doable for the Predators, but that would be probably number one on the list. And because Vancouver they're over the cap at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the cost would be to get him, but it probably wouldn't be as much as a player of his worth probably should be.
Yeah.
So that would probably be number one on my list. I'd say at number two is probably Killorn. I don't love him in the top six. Like, I think to me he's more probably a third line guy, but on this team you could put him in the top six. I think what you really could do, and what might end up making more sense if that's the route you went, you could put Janot in the top six, and you could move Killorn down with Sissons and Trennan, and I think that would be okay as well. So I'd probably put him at number two. Nyquist probably at three, even though that doesn't really do it for me all that much. If Kessel, because Kessel's obviously, he's still out there and is available. If he would have scored more than eight goals last year,
mm-hmm.
I'd have more patience for it, but I do agree with you. Like, he is a defensive liability. If he's not a goal scorer, if he's not going to finish at the same rate, what are you really accomplishing there? Because to me, if you're going to play him with Ryan Johansson,
mm-hmm.
like, Ryan Johansson needs somebody who can finish.
Yes.
And he didn't have that last year. And to his credit, he took some of that upon himself, which I think he needs to continue to do, and scored 26 goals last year. But the Kessel one becomes, I think, less and less intriguing by the day, although now, given their options, maybe they start to move up on that. But JT Miller is number one for me.
Yeah, I would probably.
I just wonder what the price is to get him.
Yeah, I would have to do some research during the break, but you know, he you know, thought a lot of people thought he might move at the draft, and it didn't happen. But I think he would be a really good fit. I'm trying to think of my rankings. I guess I would have Niederreiter number two. I guess my question would be just exactly how much. Like if he would be willing to sign like a.
My hesitation with him is the term.
Yeah, that would be my hesitation too. But I really like the player.
Yeah.
So like when I think about players that do the things that John Hines wants his players to do, he does.
He fits
all
right in line. Yep.
He scores. He's defensively responsible. He forechecks his ass off. I think that, and he's a pain in the butt. So I think I think Niederreiter checks a lot of boxes, but the term is, you know.
Well, I'm interested in what he's looking for because he'll be 30 coming up in September, which is not old by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, I was shocked he wasn't signed yesterday, and it kind of tells me is maybe what he's asking for a little bit on the unrealistic side. Like is he wanting a 7-year deal? Is he looking for a 5-6 year deal at, I don't know, $5.5-6 million per? Because I agree, like he's a good player. He scored 24 goals last year in 75 games. You know, he's traditionally been right around the 20 goal guy. He's hit 25 once back in 16-17 with Minnesota, but he's right around a 20 goal guy every year. So you know that. I also think sometimes in free agency, you overpay for those guys. Like I thought, honestly, Andrew Kopp got overpaid yesterday by Detroit. So the term would concern me with Niederreiter.
Yeah, that would be my hesitation as well. So, you know, I think with JT Miller, I think at one point there may have been some reports that the Canucks were granting him permission to speak to other teams about potential contract extensions in conjunction with a trade. But yeah, I'm still looking to find what the asking price is. And I imagine, although the Canucks need to get rid of money, the team is going to be lucky enough to, you know.
I don't think they're going to hand them to you like Vegas just did.
Yeah, exactly.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll have more of your thoughts on the Predators coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are your racing station, 102.5, 106.3. The Game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1 o'clock for the Embedded 301. Also join Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock for Chasing Checkers as he talks to the drivers and gets you set for racing weekend. NASCAR on 102.5, 106.3. The Game is presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Predators, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, here's an idea. Trade Favreau and a pick for a top six winger, maybe a high pick to have team retain some salary. Sign PK Subban to a 2-year deal at $4 million per season. I think $4 million per season is probably a little much for PK right now. But
and they don't need him.
They don't need him. But if you trade Favreau, you might need him. I don't know. He could be a third-pair guy now.
That would be interesting.
In all seriousness, the Favreau part of this is intriguing to me because I said this yesterday. It's difficult for me to imagine with Ryan McDonagh in the fold now, both Alex Carrier and Dante Favreau being on this roster next season. So not this upcoming season. But the season after that, I guess that would be 23-24.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult for me to imagine both of them on the roster at that time. So if you're the Predators, I mean, you talk about if you're David Poile, next year you've got Janot's contract coming up. We'll see what happens with Trennan. You got Carrier and you got Favreau coming up. Well, wouldn't it make it a little bit easier if one of those contracts wasn't coming up because you traded it in Dante Favreau? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what the return could be for Favreau. Like, if you're, let's say you're interested in a JT Miller, would Vancouver be interested in Favreau and maybe another pick to go along with it? Would you, if you're the Predators, be interested in giving up a guy like Favreau for a guy like Miller, who's got 1 year left on a contract and you know is going to get a massive raise after that. It's the Fabro part of this is intriguing because I could see with McDonough now in the fold, maybe it making some sense to move one of those younger defensemen out.
Yeah, and the Canucks defense is interesting to say the least. They have Quinn Hughes, who's a fabulous young player. You know, they traded for Oliver Ekman-Larsson last summer, and you know he's not what he used to be. They have Tyler Myers, who's not very good, and then they have Travis Dermott, Luke Shen, and Kyle Burrows. So you know, not a great defense. And I you know Fabro you know could be appealing to them for a number of reasons. So I wouldn't say no to the it, quite frankly. I wouldn't say no to Dante Fabro being the player that gets the Predators a forward that they need.
Well, I think there's a possibility that happens. Now, look, I don't know if the Predators are going to end up being able to pull off JT Miller or not because he had 99 points last year. And I agree with you. Like, whenever there's a trade for JT Miller, he's probably going to be looking for an extension along with that trade.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that the Predators are in a position, having just given Philip Forsberg another contract and with Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene on the books for the next few years at $8 million per year. I don't know if you're in the position to give JT Miller what I would assume would be somewhere in the nines, right, in terms of his AAV. I would think so.
It's up there. Not be quite nine, but
it'd be up there. I mean, it'd be a pretty high-level contract that you're handing out. Now, he is 29. He'll be 30, so it's a little bit different than Forsberg, who's 27. But I don't know. Like, that's the type of guy on the second line that totally changes your team at that point. I just don't know if the Predators are going to be able to pull that off or if they have any interest in pulling that off.
Yeah, let's just say for the sake of this discussion that the Predators made that trade and signed JT Miller to a contract at more than $8 million. That means you would have four forwards making at least $8 million on your team for at least two seasons because you have because starting in 23-24, yeah, you have two seasons of Ryan Johansson, three seasons of Matt Duchene, and you know, seven seasons of Philip Forsberg.
Yeah.
That's just not great cap management.
Well, then Yossi is a nine. So that's a whole lot of money tied up in the top part of your line. That's why I just don't know that that's realistic for them long term. Now, I don't know. If he wanted to trade for JT Miller and because Vancouver's in the cap situation that they're in and maybe it doesn't cost as much as you think it might, is it worth trading for him for a year and seeing how it goes in your lineup and then kind of retooling your lineup from there? Maybe, but that kind of feels like a go-for-it move at that point if you're the Predators.
Yeah, and how many go-for-it moves do they really need to make right now?
I don't know. So let's play that out. Let's say JT Miller is here with the Predators and you've got a top six with some line combination of Forsberg, Johansson, Duchene, Granlund, JT Miller, Tomasino. How much different are you feeling about that team with him in the fold?
I feel better about it. Again, like, they're a playoff team. But how much more are they than that?
Well, I mean, if JT Miller's in there, they could be pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I remain skeptical. I remain skeptical, but that's sort of my default position on life in general.
Aiden on the text line says, is there any chance of offloading Johansson to someone collecting bad contracts like Arizona? I don't think so.
No. I mean, because in that case, you're not getting anything of value back other than the cap space.
Right.
And, you know, and then you have to use that cap space because if you're just dumping Ryan Johansson, you're not getting better.
Exactly.
So you have to do that with the knowledge that there's something else coming, and I'm not sure what that could be. So I'm not sure just getting rid of Ryan Johansson is the right thing to do right now.
No. Now, having said that, and this is the interesting part about the year that both Johansson and Duchene had, like let's think to this time last year and the discussion around those two. I mean, you were begging Seattle to take one of those two contracts, and obviously they didn't do it. Both of them come back. We know what happened. They both had really good years. Duchene had an exceptional year. Ryan Johansson, I thought, was really, really good. If you're David Poile and the Predators, do you view that as, okay, well, this is what they're going to be moving forward, or do those contracts either one of them become maybe more easier to move now if you're David Poile and the Predators. Like, if it hasn't happened yet, I doubt very seriously it's happening at this point with those two, but I don't know. It's something we wouldn't have even brought up last year because nobody would take it.
Yeah.
I still think most people probably wouldn't take it this year based on the cap situation around the league, but it's not as much of a non-starter as it was a year ago.
Well, it just goes back to what we were talking about, that, you know, if there was a gear to move Matt Duchene, it would be now, because he's A, coming off of a great season, and B, his trade protection, his modified no trade clause, does not take effect until next season, 23-24. So they could trade Matt Duchene to whichever team they wanted. But it goes back to the same thing with Johansson, is if you trade Duchene, you're not getting better. You're getting worse. There goes 40 plus goals out of your lineup, and you're not gonna probably not replace it. So, you know, that just that's more of a move if you're trying to reset, but this team isn't trying to do that.
Tell you what, that the $2 million of dead cap for Kyle Turris, it's fun, isn't it, through 2028?
Yeah. Yes, we talk about the Jeremy Lauzon contract. That's $2 million. Yes, the Predators will be paying Kyle Turris for 6 more years.
Yep.
6 more years.
Good for you, Kyle Turris.
Look, I like Kyle Turris. He's a really nice guy. I liked the idea at the time. Man, did that not work out at all.
It surely did not. It's hot, so how about we cool all things off a little hockey? Make sure you join us tomorrow at 10 o'clock for the 2022 Preds Prospect Showcase as the future Preds hit the ice for a scrimmage. All the action will be called by Willie Donick and Chris Mason on Smashville's Best Sports Talk, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. You can also catch it on the Game Nashville app as well. I believe Chase McCabe handling some pregame duties as well, so looking forward to that. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Drake Hills from the Tennessean. We'll get his thoughts on all things Nashville SC. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Make sure you tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 7:05 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds host the Memphis Redbirds, the AAA affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals at First Horizon Park. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. We are scheduled to be joined by Drake Hills. We are efforting him at the moment, so we'll see if we can get in contact with Drake. A big 1-0 win last night for Nashville SC against Seattle. So back in the win column for the boys in gold. We talked about the statement from the back line earlier. Lots of funny reaction to that on Twitter, including Dennis, who has made some Photoshops as he normally does. So good stuff.
What does Dennis do? Like, what do you do, Dennis?
I don't know, but he's sensational at the graphic design part of this.
Is he a graphic designer?
He very well could be.
Well, at least he's doing what he loves. Yes. Making Photoshops of you.
Yes. Well, who wouldn't love that? Matt on the text line says, if Poile is looking for a one-year deal with a top six forward, does that mean that he believes that the move plus Forsberg and McDonough is ultimately going to put them in the running for the cup?
Yes.
That's an interesting question. Like, what do you think? How do you think David Poile is viewing this team as currently constructed? Do you think that he deep down believes that they are maybe one move away from being a cup contender?
Well, it is his job to put a competitive team on the ice, and I doubt that he would put a team on the ice that he doesn't think would be competitive. And you know, at the end of the season, he talked about how this past season he didn't spend to the cap because he just didn't feel it was the right time to do that. But this year he felt like was the right time to spend some money. So that would suggest that he thinks that this team now is in better position to compete than it would have been last year. You remember, they were supposed to take a step back. I mean, they made the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, where they, you know, so they didn't take a step back in that regard. You know, I think, you know, in the minds of a lot of people, they overachieved last season. So I'm not sure how much of a step back they really took. But it sounds like, you know, the Predators are prepared to. They want this to be the first step forward after taking what they thought was a step back.
What are your thoughts on Dylan Strome? Because we talked about this earlier this week. I have no idea why the Hawks just let him go. Like, to me, it would have made a ton more sense to qualify him, and then if you want to get rid of him, trade him and get something back for him. But they just let him go. He's still out there and available. He had 48 points last year, 22 goals, 26 assists in 69 games. He's a young guy. I mean, he's 25 years old. He's bounced around a little bit from Arizona to Chicago, and this would be his third team in a pretty short amount of time. But what do you think of Dylan Strome and his potential availability out there? And would that be something, if you're the Predators, you consider, even though he does play center and is a natural center?
Yeah, you know, the thing with Strome is that he was he was in and out of the lineup for the Blackhawks, especially early on in the season when Jeremy Colleton was still the coach there.
Yeah.
And he's not a great skater. That was one of the knocks against him. And he would, you know, I feel like Strome, and I'm trying not to insult Dylan Strome here, but to me, I feel like you would have to play him a lot like you did Kyle Turris. You know, Kyle Turris was a pretty sheltered player in terms of how he was deployed on the ice. You know, he had a lot of offensive zone starts. You know, you had to, you know, control the matchup so he was playing against maybe bottom six competition or third pairs on defense and try to take advantage of those matchups. So I think with Strome, it is a similar player. He would be good, you know, because he is productive. He can be productive, but he is a player that needs a lot of he's not an all-situations player. You need to put him – you absolutely need to put him in a position to succeed offensively. And that's okay if you have other players who can, you know, take the tougher matchups. But, you know, I do think there are aspects of his game that are concerning. But he is a good young player, I think, overall.
Got a text that says, will Bill Haslam help push Poile out as GM? Since 98, one trip past the second round is mediocrity. So Bill Haslam will be majority ownership. I think the timeline kind of lines up somewhere 3 to 4 years from now when that transition is complete.
Mm-hmm.
What did you make of that? So we haven't really gotten your thoughts on that. What did you make of that with Haslam coming in and joining the ownership group? And do you think that changes anything in the short term for the Predators moving forward? Because I don't really think it does.
No, I don't really think it does either. I think you would be more it would be more impactful if Bill Haslam would have, you know, bought out Herb Fritch's shares immediately,
right,
and had become the chairman or majority owner right away.
Right.
Because it's a transition, things aren't going to happen in the next few years, it sounds like. And even when it does happen, it's still going to be an ownership conglomerate. It's not going to be Bill Haslam and nobody else. So how much is really going to change in terms of how ownership operates? Now, you know, Bill Haslam, with his experience in politics, might be more comfortable being out there and being more visible than Herb Fritch has been. But I'm not sure, you know, I think this idea that Bill Haslam is going to come in and be this owner like Bill Foley in Vegas or Ted Leonsis in Washington or what have you, I'm not sure that's going to be the case. I mean, Bill Haslam might run the Predators the same way Herb Fritch has. It's just that he might be more visible, which I think is important, but I'm not sure Haslam is going to come in there and wield, you know, an axe and break down the Predators' front office. So, you know, I think it's good to have someone with deep pockets in your front office, especially someone with ties to the state, but I don't think things are going to change as dramatically as some Predators fans are hoping.
Do you think Preds fans are right to be freaking out today that there's no top six forward, or is sometimes patience a virtue in these type of discussions?
Sometimes patience is a virtue that cannot hurt you.
Ooh, nice.
Yes, there you go. I wouldn't say freaked out. I if you're discouraged, then I think that's appropriate. But I wouldn't be screaming from the hills if nothing happened, because nothing happened yesterday and maybe nothing happens today. But that's just my opinion. You know, I think if the Predators were to make a move in the next week or something, you know, I think you'll be okay.
I don't think that they're just sitting here on their hands. Like, I think they're up to something. Now, look, whether or not something ends up working out or whatever does end up happening, whether it's the right move or not, I have no idea. I couldn't tell you. But I would caution against Predators fans that think that David Poile and the Predators are just sitting there and are content that this is their group. I don't believe that to be the case.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So we'll see what happens on that front. By the way, Chase McCabe has about 20 minutes left to see whether or not his prediction comes to pass and the Predators sign somebody before 10 o'clock at the DDC. So we'll see what happens on that front. Matthew on Twitter says, would have loved Palat or Pacioretty, but as it sits right now, either Dylan Strome, Phil Kessel, or Nino Niederreiter are on the wish list for Matthew. What did you think of the Palat deal? He ends up in New Jersey. He was obviously really, really good for the Lightning in the playoffs. He's been a great player for the Lightning for the past few years. I mean, you look at his numbers, they're not going to blow you off the page in terms of his production. He had 18 goals, 49 points in the regular season last year. Now you look at the playoffs, and he was awesome. He had 11 goals, 21 points in 23 games on their run to the Stanley Cup final. What did you make of Andre Palat and his deal with the Devils?
He made a deal with the Devils.
He did.
I think it's fine. I think that...
By the way, it's a five-year, $30 million contract.
Yeah, I think that he is going to help them. We talked about the rings in the room conversation, and that's a young team that could use some experience, some winning experience. So I think Palat will help in that regard. It might be more intangible than what happens on the ice, but, you know, that's... The Devils are in a position to spend that money. You know, they did not, they made an offer for Johnny Gaudreau that was rebuffed, so they had the money to spend, and they ended up spending it on Andre Palat, which I think helps, but not something that makes them immediately better.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Preds. Our phone and text lines are open, so hit us up with your Preds thoughts. Where do the Preds go from here? You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vinga, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. By the way, Tiger Woods now 2-over at the Open. I know Adam Vinga playing very close attention to this. Tiger Woods 2-over at the Open. I think he's like 4 holes through. Rory McIlroy right now doing well, 6-under. Cameron Young leading at -8. So there you go. There's your Open update.
Thanks.
Live from across the pond.
Glad you did that.
Thank you. By the way, we have confirmed that Dennis is a graphic designer on the text line. Ray in Hendersonville on the text line says, hey, what about Jaromir Jagr? Sure, he's 50. Defensive liability and 15-second shifts are probably the max, and he requires oxygen on the bench, but he still has great hands and can finish. Coming from Ray from Hendersonville. There was a funny tweet yesterday from Jaromir Jagr talking about his eligibility for the NHL.
Hey, he's probably in better shape than a lot of guys that are out there.
Still. Here's what Jagr had to say yesterday. He said, NHL GMs, I'm also a free agent. Once again, 6'3", 265, 50 years old, slow, but strong and good hands, can bring experience, and like to play only home games. Call me anytime. Also, as the owner of a hockey club in the Czech League, I'm looking to sign as a defenseman. No jokes. This coming from Jaromir Jagr on Twitter.
Yeah.
To which Hal Gill responded, I'm available, road games only.
Well, there you go. Package deal.
Package deal. Jagr and Skillsy.
Yes.
What a combo that'd be.
They can still play.
That's right. So as we sit here today, day two of free agency, the major shifting is out of the way from teams in the NHL. We'll see whether or not there's any, you know, big trades that take place today. I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there. My guess is that the Predators do not sign a free agent today. I think they're committed to the trade part of this. I'm not reporting anything. Just my speculation on this is that David Poile is trying to get the top six part of this figured out via trade.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense. We've talked about it all show long about how those moves would make sense based off of David Poile's comments on the midday show a few days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. You know, I feel, you know, we had the excuse yesterday of being on the air before free agency started. You know, Darren, Willie, and Chase, and Jared and Caroline were hoping to have a lot of Predators free agent news to talk about yesterday,
yeah.
And they didn't.
Not a thing.
Not a thing.
I got a text on the text line. This coming from Michael that says, do you guys agree with Jared when he says Poile didn't have a backup plan if Forsberg didn't re-sign with the team? Well, that's what Poile said after the contract was signed. He didn't have plan B, C, or D. The plan was always to sign Forsberg. I mean, to answer the question, no, I don't believe that.
No, I don't believe it.
Well, I mean, what is he going to say in that situation? By the way, had Forsberg not signed, really looking at getting in there the Johnny Gaudreau sweepstakes.
But right.
Didn't do that.
Yeah, that you know.
Sometimes we make way too much out of what it said in these situations.
What did I say yesterday? It takes two to lie, one to lie and one to listen.
That's
and
right.
That's exactly what was happening. I mean, you know, you have to take you can't trust everything a GM says. I mean, remember, it was Jared who asked David after the contract was signed if it was just posturing that he said plans B and D and C or whatever. And Jared was like, well, I mean, and David was like, well, because his agent is listening to everything I say, I have to.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
So, no, to answer your question, I don't believe that the Predators didn't have a backup plan if Forsberg didn't sign.
Yeah.
Now, do I believe that the Predators were very confident that Forsberg was going to sign the whole time?
Yes.
Yes, I do. Do I believe that that was way more an emphasis than sometimes they made it? Like, I talked to David Poile a few weeks ago when Haslam was being introduced in there,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking about, like, well, you know, we've got our contingency plans of plans B, C, and D, and all this other stuff, and, you know, I'm concerned about a deal getting done with Forsberg. Now, was he really concerned, or was that posturing to go along with that? I don't know, but it's one of those things that, yes, there were some contingency plans that they had in place. It just, at that point, does no good for David Poile to talk about it when Philip Forsberg is signed.
Yeah, I mean, there's no point to talking about it if you're David Poile. So I do not believe he really didn't have any backup plan. It might not have been as exciting
not as exciting.
But I don't imagine that if Forsberg would have told them, I'm not coming back, they would have been, you know, scrambling for an alternative.
Although I will say, had they not signed Forsberg, I wondered if they would have made a big push for Johnny Gaudreau. But I thought we wouldn't have come here because he was looking to go northeast. But then he signed with Columbus yesterday, which is not really northeast.
Midwest,
and
baby.
And is not really close to contention either. So maybe if Forsberg didn't sign, they would have had a shot at Gaudreau. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
It is amazing he left about $15 million on the table.
Yeah, that's
apparently
incredible. It was reported that just based off the final deal, the final offer that the Flames made to Gaudreau versus the one he signed with the Columbus Blue Jackets, he left roughly $15 million on the table to sign with a team that's further from contention than the team he was on, which, as I said at the top of the show, does not reflect well on Calgary, whether it's, you know, the direction of the team, even though they did have a very good regular season, or the market, or what have you.
Can I just tell you, with Johnny Gaudreau doing that, leaving the money on the table, we've talked about Pierre-Luc Dubois in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Basically saying, hey, 2 years from now when I'm a free agent, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Is it fair to say, hey, maybe people they don't like living in the cold up there in Calgary and in Winnipeg? Is that not part of this? Because I'll be honest with you, for somebody like me that has absolutely zero experience being a pro athlete,
mm-hmm.
were I a high-level pro athlete and I had my chance to get to free agency, to get the heck out of Calgary or get the heck out of Winnipeg, I would. That's just me. I know not everybody's me, but
well,
I would do it.
You're a swamp creature.
No,
in the sense that you love hot and humid, which I'll never understand. It's just, this weather is disgusting. I don't know why anyone likes this. I don't know why you like it. I don't know why anybody likes it.
Oh, come on. Beautiful.
I mean, I've been in Winnipeg when it's below zero, and it's not fun.
It's not a pleasant place to be.
It's
like, in all seriousness, does that not play into this to some degree of, I just don't know if I really like living here. Like, I'm sure the people are great. I'm sure there are great parts about living in Calgary and Winnipeg, but to me, that would be a tough part of it to overcome. Is it worth giving up $15 million? I don't know.
Well, he's made a lot of money already.
That's
so
the thing.
I mean,
$15
million to Johnny Gaudreau is not the same.
No. Well, he's about to make, let's not act like he's on the cheap there in Columbus. He's going to be making almost $10 million a year.
You're right. Yeah. So he'll be fine. Yeah. And as I was joking earlier, Columbus gets a bad rap as a hockey market, because think about what happened three, four years ago. All eyes were on them at the trade deadline because they had
Panarin, Duchesne,
and Bobrovsky, and they did not sell off any of them. They pulled off the upset of the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round, and then all three of those players left. And then they went through a rebuild, sort of. You know, they traded Seth Jones, they traded Nick Foligno, they traded Cam Atkinson, they traded David Savard, and Columbus was thought to be an undesirable place to play. But you know, Johnny Gaudreau absolutely changes that perception for sure. And Erica Branson.
I got a text that says, "I can hardly wait to hear Jared's take on the Columbus signing." He said their GM is the dumbest in hockey and couldn't sign anyone. This coming from Dexter on the text line. Now, I will say this. When Jarmo Kekalainen gave Erik Branson a four-year deal yesterday for $16 million, I did think to myself, all right, man, what are you doing here?
Yeah, that was
that's pretty brutal.
Yeah, that's not great. But, you know, he should feel good about himself. Like I said, perhaps he was playing chess while the rest of us were playing checkers.
Maybe
Johnny Gaudreau and Erik Branson are as thick as thieves, and Jarmo Kekalainen knew that signing Gudbranson would lead to Gaudreau. So sometimes you have to.
How about this coming from Andy Strickland, who we've talked about before here on the show with the Philip Forsberg stuff?
Mm-hmm.
He says this, quote, "Nashville eyeing another goaltender, former Blackhawk Kevin Lankinen could be a player that they target."
Huh.
What do you think of that?
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right? Do you want Lankinen to be your backup?
I don't know. Maybe you're not sold on Connor Ingram and Lankinen's your backup, but you just re-upped Devin Cooley in Milwaukee. You got a scar off.
Yeah. That's the one thing they don't need. They don't really need a goaltender.
No. I wouldn't think so.
It's interesting.
But that's coming from Andy Strickland. Nashville could be eyeing Lankinen as a goal. I mean, I would assume, could that be, is it an AHL deal? I mean, he's an NHL goalie. I don't know. That's weird.
Well, he was an NHL goalie in name only last year.
Sure, yes. I mean,
you know,
a couple of years ago,
he had a hot start, and then since then he's been dog water.
Well, something to keep an eye on there. We'll see if the Predators maybe have a goalie on their mind today in day number two in free agency as well. The DDC will have you covered on all things Predators and free agency today. I will be joining the DDC coming up at 11 o'clock as well, so that's going to be a fun time. Looking forward to us coming back, Adam Bingen and myself, tomorrow at 6 a.m. That does it for us here on Robbie and Rex Road. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.